and welcome to House Call, a new podcast produced by AR Audio. It's a podcast dedicated to your personal health and well-being. I'm Greg Scott, and I believe that if you desire to learn more about your health and how the foods we eat, the liquids we drink, and the exercise we get affect our health, then this podcast is for you. House Call will not only provide you with valuable health information, but will create an awareness of the importance of healthy living. This podcast is hosted by two board-certified physicians, Dr. Peter Landless and Dr. Zeno Charles Marcel, who write a regular column on various health issues that appear in the Adventist Review magazine. You can read more of their articles at AdventistReview.org. Today we're going to sit down with Dr. Zeno Charles Marcel, a board-certified internist, and talk about whether we can transfer lifestyle habits genetically to our children. This question actually came to us from one of our readers. They wrote, "I am 25 years old, will soon get married, and I heard that if I become athletic, live calmer, or even if I'm stressed out a lot, I can pass these behaviors on to my children and grandchildren because they change my genes. Dr. Charles Marcel, can that actually happen?"
Well, it's true to a large extent, but it's not fully true. And let me try to explain. First of all, let me deal with the person who's asking the question. 25-year-old, don't know if it's a male or female, but typically this kind of question is asked by females, by women who are interested in what's going to be happening with their children. Of course, the men should be interested too. And we'll talk about the effect that the life and lifestyle of men have on children. But typically it would be a woman who would ask this question. So I'm assuming that the reader was a woman. The other thing was the person said about becoming athletic, which means they may feel that they are not getting an adequate amount of exercise, and they may have heard that by being more active, this will help in the children. And that is true. If somebody is more athletic, then their exercise levels will make it easier for them in childbirth, but it also will transmit some benefits to the children, as we'll discuss in a little while. The third issue is about stress. And it sounds as though this question really wants to home in on the stress issue, something that we didn't have a lot of space to talk about in the article itself in the August issue of Adventist Review, but we can utilize some time on this podcast to be able to talk about that, about the stress. Now, this question is actually asking about epigenetics. So somewhere along the line, this person heard something about epigenetics, which means that over the life of an individual, some of the things that they experience before they have children actually can be transmitted to their children, to their children's children, all the way to the third and fourth generations. Now, this is an issue.
So, Doctor, what is epigenetics?
Epigenetics is a term that's used to mean above the genes. Most people learn in elementary school these days, and high school, and certainly in college, about the way genes are transmitted. We talk about DNA, you know, deoxyribonucleic acid is a nice big term. But what it means is that we have a code. We have an alphabet soup of codes, and these codes determine the proteins that we make and the structures that we have in our bodies. And for many years, the idea was that if you know the code, then you will be able to reproduce a human being perfectly. But we have a problem. It was noted that identical twins were not identical. You know, they start off with the same genetic material, same stuff from mom and dad. But if you ask mom and dad, they will tell you soon after birth, they can tell child A from child B. So what is causing that difference? Well, the difference is as time goes on, the children actually have different experiences. They get exposed to different things. For instance, the firstborn is actually the firstborn. That person, that child, actually has a different world than the second who was born, because the second is being born when mom has already been through a part of labor and she's already delivered the first child, all right? So the second child starts off being different from the first just because they came out into the world at different times with different environments. And from there on, everything else accumulates. Every change, every environmental exposure, every kiss, every hug, every cuddling makes a difference, and it imprints on what is going to happen to that child.
Very interesting. What are the scientists saying about this?
Well, that's a good question, because scientists, prior to dealing with epigenetics per se, saw this as heresy. But today, no one thinks that it's heretical, because we have enough proof that it works this way. What is still startling, however, because we haven't worked out the whole thing yet, what is still startling is how this thing is passed from not only one generation to the other, but it persists into generations that are later on. And what we know today is that the chemicals, some proteins that are used to hold the genes in place, these we thought were just kind of holding proteins, but they are not. If they get marked by what we experience, they then tell the next generation how to turn on or turn off those genes. So it's like an orchestra leader, same score, same orchestra, but the conductor, if he likes strings, will cause the strings to be, you know, more prominent, and he might not be too keen on the woodwinds, and he might cause those to be lower. But another conductor comes, and that one likes the opposite. And so the same orchestra playing the same score will sound differently, because the expression of the music becomes different because the conductor is different. And epigenetics actually is the conductor for what happens with the genes.
How do foods affect epigenetics?
What we eat is chemical, and those chemicals can put markers on our genes, and then what those markers will say would pass that information on to the next generation. This was really interestingly looked at, not with the kind of food, but even the idea of how much food was given. In Europe, they have had a series of famines, and in Sweden, they looked at what happened with people whose grandparents had a problem during the famine. And what they found is that a man's father's father, if the grandfather then went through a famine, that man was much more likely to have diabetes and much more likely to die at a young age. So it was the lack of food of the grandfather that put markers on the DNA, and the grandchild, okay, is being affected by it.
So we are the product of our ancestors and how our ancestors actually lived.
Yes, yes, we are. And that's why some of the scientists today are saying that we're turning what we know about inheritance, you know, on its head. Or one person on an interview, he said, it makes me feel closer to my children and my grandchildren because I'm leaving them a legacy. What I experience will be passed on in some way to them. And you're not just what you eat, even though we're talking about food, we're also what we experience and what our parents experience and what our grandparents experience. And for us, we are actually leaving an experiential legacy, not just a straightforward genetic code, but also how to interpret that code to our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
That is fascinating. So if I have a craving for a particular kind of food, then I can blame that on my grandfather?
Well, I don't know what the science is to answer that question, but it probably may have some bearing, and only time and more research will help us to find that out.
Dr. Charles Marcel, is stress transmissible? The stress we experience in our daily lives transmitted on to our children and grandchildren?
Well, I can't say that the stress itself is transmissible. What I can say is the response to the stress might be transmissible. There was a very interesting natural experiment that was done during the time of the 9/11 problem in New York with the Twin Towers. What they found were that they looked for people who had PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And among them, they found about 200 women who were pregnant at the time. in that population of 200 women, about half of them suffered from PTSD. So then it was looked at to see whether their children would also manifest symptoms of PTSD. Well, it's kind of difficult to tell for a baby. So they looked at another marker. They looked at cortisol levels. They found that those who had the greatest stress response, that is negative stress response, that their cortisol levels were low. And lo and behold, what they found is that the children of those individuals who had PTSD, their children also had low cortisols. But it wasn't everybody. It was only those women who had the child in utero in the third trimester, in the last 3 months of pregnancy. That was what was transmitted to the children. So those who were in the first trimester or second trimester, they didn't transmit their PTSD to their children, only those in the last trimester. So yes, stress response is transmissible. And we're just going to wait to see if the children of these children from 9/11, if their children will also have PTSD.
We'll have to follow that research very closely. Today, we've been talking with Dr. Zeno Charles Marcel. He is a board-certified internist. He's also an associate director of the Health Ministries Department here at the headquarters of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And we've been talking about lifestyle and how genetics affect our children and how stress and other types of things in our lifestyle are transmitted and passed on to our children. And so thank you, Dr. Charles Marcel. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we conclude our podcast for today?
Well, I'd like to leave on a positive note. You know, someone might say, well, you know, with all of this stuff that has happened before me, I had no say in the matter, and all of this stuff has just been passed to me. Well, yes, that is true. It means that every one of us has risk, but in the same way that things can be passed on, they also can be turned off. The same way that we can inherit something, it might be possible to reverse all of that through the decisions that we make and the lifestyle that we live today. And that will have benefit not just for us, but by God's grace, it will have a benefit to those who will come after us as well. So we can leave a legacy by making a change in our lifestyles today.
Thank you, Dr. Charles Marcel. We hope you've enjoyed our new podcast, House Call. This podcast is designed to provide health tips and information on how to improve your health. For additional information, go to AdventistReview.org and use the search word House Call. You can also listen to this and other podcasts by going to araudio.org. Until next time, stay healthy and keep exercising.
Thank you.